potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Real quick, coming up on Monday, we're scheduled to be joined by State Representative Jennifer Fidler, also Dale Jackson, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News, and our very own Congressman Jerry Carl going to be with us on Friday as well. So make sure you tune in on Monday. But in the meantime, on the line with us now, we do this every Friday, our returning champion, very pleased to bring on State Senator Chris Elliott from, he's my state senator. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Let's kick it off here. Well, it sounds like are you out and about today doing something that's probably going to make the rest of us jealous?
I'm looking at the water right now, which is not a bad thing. It's my home office down in beautiful Josephine, so it is not too bad. It's a sunny day. The seas are calm on the bay.
Well, thanks for that. Thanks for painting that picture for us. And I always like when I have these you guys and your colleagues on during this time of year, once the session's over, it's like, well, what are we going to talk about? I mean, the business of the legislature's done, and we'll just kind of dotting the I's and crossing T's or whatever. But nope, you head back to Montgomery here in 3 weeks, it looks like. Understandably, the halls of the state house are bustling right now as reapportionment or redistricting, is going on after the Supreme Court decision. What do you hear? What can you tell us about that process?
Well, that process is certainly underway in earnest. Those conversations are taking place. And, of course, I continue to have a lot of meetings with folks that are concerned about how that's going to unfold and how that's going to affect our district. The Supreme Court's ruling, I was surprised. We certainly wish that it had been different. It's important for everybody to options are going to be relatively limited. It is going to be a matter of, what can we pass that will satisfy the courts that keep them from using the already employed special master to redraw these districts for us if they do not like what we've done. So in front of us, we have, the challenge to redraw something that is, complies with the court's directives, but to do so in a way that it keeps them from saying no, not good enough, and taking it away from us altogether and doing it themselves.
Well, and tell me if you think this is fair, but whatever the maps end up being, whatever you guys wind up voting on, or if it does involve a special master, this is going to change the politics of Alabama for decades. If you suddenly have two competitive congressional districts, just thinking the outside money coming in, the way we think about elections, all of that, it's not going to just be a little bit of a ripple. It's going to flip everything over.
Well, I think it's important to note we have one strong Democrat seat right now, and so that's likely to stay the case. The question is how competitive is the next one, and that will be the question. Is it a place where majority minorities can compete, or is it a district that that is absolutely going to be won by a minority? And that's what the legislature is going to have to thread the needle on, I think, and try to make the court happy versus, again, the court's just simply doing it on their own. And that's going to be the challenge. So, the likelihood that we have a much more competitive congressional seat in Alabama, one more, is probably pretty good. And yes, that will change the nature of things.
Yeah, because, we haven't had purple districts in Alabama. People point to 2010 with Bobby Bright and Martha Roby, and then maybe to some degree AL5 at the end of the Bud Cramer era, Parker Griffith, and then to Mo Brooks. But, those were kind of anomalies where you had coattails from Barack Obama, and he had kind of a transitory phase with the old line blue dog, yellow dog Democrats becoming extinct and everybody going jumping ship and going to the Republican Party, and then that big turnover there. But you think about it now in this day and age where everything's so much more polarized, a purple district in Alabama, I don't even know where to begin, because it's just something that's not normal.
Well, and not just a purple district as it pertains to Democrats versus Republicans, but the court's edict seems to be a district in which a minority can be successful. And so I think that adds even a little bit, a different wrinkle to it. This is not just a purple district where there may be a certain number of Democratic voters, but that there is a significant number of minority voters where a minority may be able to hold that seat. And I think that's just a distinction that's worth making.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. I guess you made some headlines earlier this week, Senator, and there's a lot of angst aimed at the Department of Archives and History over hosting that LGBTQ event. Well, they come with their hand out, I guess, to you guys in the legislature so often, but that state resources were being used for something that, some people find objectionable, not necessarily something to do with history, but more to do with sex. And you have the bill. You take $5 million that was given to that agency in the education supplemental and take it away from them. And, I don't know if your ears were burning last night. Your name came up at a town hall event in Mobile, but it's certainly drawn a lot of attention.
Well, look, this is kind of the culmination, I think, of some frustration across the state of Alabama with a very insidious push by liberals across the state to push a woke agenda wherever they can. And it is frustrating to myself, it is frustrating to my colleagues, it's frustrating to my constituents that we continue to see this pop up in agencies and endeavors that are funded by taxpayers. Look, if you're a company and you want to push a woke agenda, have at it. See how that turned out for Bud Light and think twice about it. But if you are an agency of the state of Alabama, or if you receive taxpayer funding from the state of Alabama, let the message go out far and wide that you are going to be under increased scrutiny from the Alabama legislature if you continue to push a pro-LGBTQ agenda and an agenda that discusses what happens in people's bedrooms in very, very public spaces like the Alabama Department of Archives and History.
Well, so much of the bureaucracy has become very activist, it seems. Like, and it's not that they're like, they take this approach, and I guess you saw the comments from the state librarian on Alabama Political Reporter too, but they take this approach that they know better, and they're doing this for all the right reasons. But the right reasons are, I mean, whether they want to admit it or not, it's to normalize an agenda, to normalize behavior. I mean, it is taking on this role, and I'm sure it's at other agencies besides Archives and History, but it does seem that way. I mean, Department of Public Health is another one where a lot of this goes on. I mean, you want your government agencies to be agnostic, not take one side or another. But so much of state government right now, it's just we know better than you, and this is the right. This we've decided what's right and what's wrong, and we're going to do what's right, and that's not really in their mandate.
And again, I think that my colleagues and I are fed up with that. The Alabama legislature has the power of the purse, and we intend to use it to dissuade the bureaucrats and the professional political class that sees this as their mandate to to tell us how awful we have been and how we need to indoctrinate our children and society in, in acceptance of what, and even discussion of what happens in people's bedrooms. Listen, if you want to do that, woe to you, because the Alabama legislature is watching you and your funding is very much in peril. Look, I don't think that we ought to be talking about what happens in somebody's bedroom in any public building. I just don't think we ought to. It's not our business. You go do you, but don't try to indoctrinate my children. Don't try to talk about it in libraries, in public settings, in the Alabama Department of Archives and History. Just quit it. Go back to your original mission and leave that to parents where it belongs.
How much can the legislature do here? I mean, especially schools and public libraries. The big thing right now, and I'm shocked. I don't spend a lot of time in a public library. Surprise! But these displays, these LGBTQ Pride Month displays, especially here in Fairhope, and some of the reading material. I'm like, wow. I mean, if I had had that when I was a child, could you imagine? But is there anything the legislature can do, or is that a government overreach?
It's not a government overreach as it pertains to public funding. I mean, listen, again, where we started off, if you're a private company or a private individual and you want to talk about this, have at it. You may suffer the same fate that Bud Light has suffered. You may see the same reaction that other woke corporations are seeing right now. But at the end of the day, the Alabama legislature controls the funding for these agencies. And I think as we get out of this special session, we send a strong message to the Alabama Department of Archives and History regarding their actions recently. And I think that message will be heard by other bureaucracies throughout the state. I've talked to House members just this morning that say, we ought to pass a bill that says if you receive any public funding from the state of Alabama at all, be it libraries, be it schools, whatever it is, this is not something that you're going to discuss. This is not something that you're going to promote. This is about sex in people's bedroom, and we're not funding it with taxpayers' money, period.
And this text I got, I mean, is it, do you see this as something worth the time and energy that we're really looking at? I mean, the only reason I would think it's important, the only reason I spend so much time talking about it, is not so much that it's the issue itself, but people do care about it. It is something that you see a lot of chatter, a lot of parents object to it, and I think that it's this idea of this consent of the governed, right? That all of a sudden, I mean, this is just, we just had to set these new norms in our public institutions.
Well, and that's exactly it. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to let these new norms be established by a bunch of bureaucrats. I'm just not going to do it. At the end of the day, it is the Alabama legislature's responsibility to provide oversight on the spending of taxpayers' money. We are stewards of that money. And if it is being spent in a manner that is doing something that is contrary to the will of the constituents that we represent, then it is incumbent upon us to draw back that funding and to try to correct the course of these bureaucracies and the professional political class to say, hey, this is not what our constituents want. This is not what our constituents want you to push on our children. And if you continue upon this path, then you are going to find significantly less funding for your endeavor.
How much are you hearing from constituents? I mean, I don't know if it's just a concerted effort, but as the editor of a news site, I mean, I really, really hear from a lot of people about this, more so than anything else we cover, anything else we write about. I mean, no one's blowing me up over ARPA or economic incentives or any of that stuff, but this culture war stuff, I mean, it really is a trigger point.
Well, it is, Jeff, and it's exhausting. I mean, it went, and especially this month with Pride Month going on, you look at social media and the big woke corporations have changed all their profile pictures to have all kinds of rainbow things in them. You see products being pushed that are all rainbow generated. You see department stores and all this kind of stuff. It is so insidious. It's just frustrating to people who don't believe that sex ought to be pushed on young children, and especially, you know, these alternative, if you will, forms of sex ought to be something that is talked about constantly, incessantly with our children, and instead says, hold on just a second, you mean our government is doing this too? The state of Alabama, in ruby red Alabama, that the Alabama legislature is allowing our government to do this too, and that is why I think you see this hue and cry for action by the legislature, action by the governor to send a message by pulling back some money from Archives and History, a significant amount of money, enough to where it hurts some, and say, stop it, not just to them, but to all the bureaucrats, quit pushing this message. And if you want to do it, you're going to do it with a whole lot less taxpayer money.
Senator, we're out of time, but we always appreciate your time on these Friday mornings. We'll do this again next week.
Thanks for having me on. Y'all have a fantastic weekend.
You do the same, Senator. All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Ford Show right on FM Talk 106.5.
Mobile, my hometown, Mr. T.